22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Schott.
8.5 remaining. They are up by 2 on an empty net goal, and the Huskies are going crazy on the Michigan Tech bench right now.
Bringing it in front, and they score!
Right in between the hash marks.
Huskies win it back. Misiak in front. Here's a score!
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Schott Hour on the home of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ. Brought to you by Pisani Company Distributing, Edward Jones Financial Advisor John Nelson in Houghton, the Turbo Agency in Hancock, Coca-Cola of Hancock, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Bucko's Party Store in Calumet,
Upward Orthodontics of Houghton,
and Peterlin Distributing of Calumet. Now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schott, here is your host, Dirk Kembroff.
All right, thank you very much, guys. We appreciate it. It is time for the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93. Huskies coming off a big weekend down at 13th-ranked Wisconsin. They come back with two big wins, 5-2 on Friday, 5-1 on Saturday, to get a couple of big non-conference victories early in the season. And, Joe, congratulations. Welcome back to the show. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was, Dirk. It was a good way to start the year for sure.
The guys played well, I thought, both nights. If you had to pick one night that was better than the other, for me, from watching from up at the press box, I would have thought Saturday night maybe was a little bit more consistent. Is that what you guys thought too?
Yeah, I thought Saturday, and in watching it back yesterday, I thought we played a relatively complete hockey game in a lot of ways. Maybe a little bit of a drop. After the timeout with about 10 minutes left in the second when we took the 5-0 lead. But I think we were able to make a couple of adjustments. The team responded well, and I thought we played a strong third period.
And we talked so much about it, but that first period Saturday night was very important. And to get that first goal, I thought was really huge for us as far as going forward.
Yeah, the team, before the game, there was a lot of, it was a loud locker room. It was a loud group in during their stretch and things before the game. And, there seemed to be a lot of confidence there. As a coach, you're saying, okay, I hope we're ready to go. I hope we're not just feeling that the weekend's done. But in retrospect now, I think they had confidence. They had a comfort level going into the game that the way that it went Friday, they felt that they could, the players, I think, felt individually and collectively that they could play their game to some degree, that they didn't feel that they were outmatched or things like that. So they were able to come in and settle into the game on Saturday. And I thought, really, from the start, we played an excellent period. First period, had a couple of big kills in that first period, got a couple of big saves out of Blake as well on those kills. And then we were able to, to translate some scoring opportunities into goals on some great team plays and some great individual plays. And it was nice to score goals.
What about the first period on Friday night? They get that early goal they had some domination a little bit inside of our zone, and that was, it came from behind the net, went off of Blake, and he settled down really well after that. But you didn't think we played that bad at all, really, in that first period, a whole lot anyway.
Well, yeah, I think what you say is accurate. I think that I feel that Wisconsin came out with a lot of emotion, and, we're still trying to figure out, especially at that point, who we are and what we are. We didn't play a good game against Northern Michigan here in that exhibition game in a lot of ways. And again, I take a lot of responsibility for that, but it was an exhibition game and we got out of that what we wanted to get. I think the players that were really trying to prove themselves and show themselves played well in the exhibition game for the most part. And I think that others didn't. I think for a couple of reasons, some of those players were able to rectify that, maybe because of just the being a league or a regular season game last weekend. And I think a big part of last weekend going in was that, we have three pivotal players on our team from Wisconsin that are big parts of our team, which are Bretzman and Bliss and Michael Carroll, our new addition portal transfer. And those players are all, again, I talked about it quite a bit during the weekend in the pregame and postgame, from Wisconsin, grew up, and Wisconsin is where it's at in the state of Wisconsin hockey. there's still a growing environment in that state. They're still improving. They're doing a great job nationally as far as developing players and things like that. They're still small enough in a model. Their model is still at the point where there's a lot of loyalty to programs and there's a real hierarchy within their system to one goal, and that's they're all trying to get, like within the Minnesota element, on this Team Wisconsin group that plays before and after. So they play some hockey, then they go back and play for their high schools and things, then they go back and play some more hockey, and they get to play against some of the top players in the country. So their model is very good, and everybody's trying to work into that and ultimately work up to play for the Badgers. So those players, I think, were led us and really willed us in a lot of ways. Bretzman was incredible. Blisser was very good. Carroll was incredible, I thought, in the games. And all those players were just okay against Northern Michigan, but I think that they showed and led by example, and I think people kind of rode along with that.
That leads me into one of my questions that I wanted to talk to you about today, Coach, with Michael Carroll. So good out there, but maybe the casual Huskies hockey fan won't be able to appreciate what he's doing so well out there. What is it from a coach's standpoint that he does so well that maybe others don't recognize?
Well, all the little things, you know, you make a good point. He's not flashy. He doesn't jump out at you, but, his gaps, his skating is incredible to start with. Mm-hmm. And he uses that to his advantage, in both his initial position, his initial gap work and elimination of time and space, and in recovery when he decides that he's going to do something, you know, outside the box or whatever, he's able to recover and support. And he's got an incredible brain. His brain is very good. So, you know, he does all the little things. He's very much like Leiper, a left-handed Leiper, in that he can log minutes. Skating is effortless for them. They have size and strength. They can end plays. They can hold lines. They're both extremely coachable, and they're both extremely cerebral. So, we have a left and right combination there that we can really rely on to, you know, to seal off either side of the ice, as we feel we need to during a hockey game.
And does that give the Colin Swoyers and the Eric Goetzes a little bit more room to maybe do some of, you know, I don't want to say take chances, but maybe do a little bit more of the offensive-minded stuff when the opportunities arise, knowing that we have those real solid guys that are going to be there? Is that what you're kind of getting at?
No, what it does is it gives them a model to learn from. Okay. And that's really what it does. It gives them an example, and you're always looking for that. You know, I gave a presentation last week, and I haven't gotten to see how it came out or anything, but, cause how it was put together on a quick fashion, but everything that I used was quotes from everybody else, you know, like, because so many others, you can learn so much from studying, and watching and learning from others that emulate the beliefs that you have. These guys, Carroll and Light, emulate really what we want on the defensive side of the puck, in the fact that they're low risk takers, they're high percentage players, and they do the little things extremely well, which is, you know, play inside your check and get that initial gap instead of having to play defenders coming at them straight on. They can establish in some ways where they want that attack coming from and then play accordingly. And we can use that as video and things like that to teach the others on how to do it. And we did that so much last year with Tyler Rockwell, you know, at his size and things like that. So many of the little things that he did well that got him through a hockey game in a good way. And then he and Light paired together last year were a great pair to show, okay, on the same play, look at what he did and look at what he did. These two guys, Michael Carroll and Leiper, give us that teaching ability to use, because that's really all we're looking at all the time is improvement. And that comes from teaching and really showing example and then working on giving the guys reps at what we're trying to get across.
Coach, you must have been pretty happy with the special teams for the first weekend of the season to get three power play goals, two on Friday, one again on Saturday, and to hold the Wisconsin power play scoreless on the weekend.
Yeah, it was good. And part of that, well, probably, maybe all of that was that we were good at those aspects last year. We were up in the country and way up in the league in power play. We were way up in the country and way up in the league on penalty kill at 90%. So, and we returned virtually everybody that was integral in those aspects. So, we were able to quickly get into that and reference that and quickly drill it and quickly use examples and then turn that into, translate that into the game. So it was good, but it comes down to not having to reinvent the wheel. Those guys were acclimated already and it was just a kind of refresher course in some ways on different reads, different options versus different looks. And all that goes into our ability to play the game as well, because, you know, we're still always in that, you know, learn to fish mode, that we want guys to learn the game and not, we don't want to just tell them what to do. Cause when we tell them what to do, the onus is on us. And then when things don't work, we're the blame. And when things do work, you know, it's all them. I want that accountability on them to understand and to learn and to be able to adapt as they move forward in all they do, that it's recognizing, it's alertness, it's attentiveness. What are you seeing? Okay. What are the sets off of that? What can you do to isolate that? And it's always different and it changes within the game. And those are the discussions you want to have on the bench or you want them to have within the group, within each other, is what are we seeing? Okay, here's what they're doing. This is what's open, based on that, instead of us just telling them going into a weekend, this is what we want you to do. And then, well, you told us to do that. Well, I know, but they're not doing the same thing, guys. They're doing a little different, so we have to recognize that. And I want them to figure that out, which is what they're able to do. We have some intelligent players.
I wanted to ask you, too. I didn't ask you this after the games, but it did look like Wisconsin was pretty aggressive on their penalty kill, at least bringing out really two guys below the top of the circles and maybe even below the dots at times. We seemed to do a very good job at getting that puck on. And, of course, once we got in the zone, we had a wonderful amount of puck handling, you know, puck time and moving that puck around, and of course scoring three goals. Were we expecting that from Wisconsin going into, for them to be kind of aggressive on their penalty kill?
Yeah, they're quick and they have big defense. They were a little different than we expected in a couple different ways. We expected a couple different looks. But I think our guys were able to read, and we had a couple concepts that we wanted to throw in based on if they did throw pressure at us, which they did, and we scored some goals off that pressure. We were able to turn that into shots. So, and scoring chances, you know, Bronte got one, we had another one on Friday night. We had a power play goal on Friday night that was the same type of deal. I can't recall who got that one. It was the play with Thorne from the point. And it was the very similar type plays, different reads originated the same way in different reads, but we were able to get what we wanted out of it and get a good look at the net and put it in.
So many things went right last weekend, Coach, against the Wisconsin Badgers. Can you give us a couple of things that we certainly need to shore up going forward, because our schedule doesn't get any easier?
Yeah, we have to improve on every part of our game, you know, again, individually and collectively, because as individuals do their job, it makes things better for the look and gives us more consistent looks in transition both ways, offensively and defensively. So, you know, we have to continue, I would say the biggest thing is to continue individually to be able to do the little things so that collectively, everybody else can do their job, because when coverages and things are changed, that transition part of the game is where that can be the difference, and it really is in a lot of ways the difference between the good teams and the really good teams, is their ability to adjust to breakdowns and not make that first mistake turn into a second and third mistake by multiple guys chasing and things like that. So, you know, we just want to make sure that conceptually that we're in alignment, and individually that we get the most consistent looks that we can have to make the guys comfortable and allow us to bring practice, which we set up success in practice in a lot of ways, to allow them to bring that into the game structure.
You had mentioned several times, Coach, that you're hoping everybody can kill penalties on our team. Are we getting closer to that? Did you notice that this weekend? Were the guys that maybe it was tough for me to tell who was out there every time and who wasn't, but, you know, did we take a step in the right direction on that, or we still have a ways to go?
Well, you always have a ways to go, but yeah, we've taken a huge step in that regards with some individuals. You know, we spread around the penalty killing quite a bit last weekend just to see who could do what and give some guys some look and do some evaluation as well. And I think that's the vital aspect of our team, that everybody plays with that pace and that intelligence and that compete level to be able to, if you can do that and if you can be successful on a 90% penalty kill, then 5-on-5, you should be able to, with the extra guy, again, translate that into success and territorial advantage. So that's the mentality that I think that every team likes to have. Again, we call that hard skill because you're trying to get the puck, and if four guys are handling five guys to a success level, then you have to feel that fifth guy, if everybody's working together, is going to add to us having possession time. So that's what it all leads to is possession time and that's the mentality we want to have going forward. And our depth is much better. It's gotten better every year since in the last 4 years. And that's been a big thing. And it creates competition. And it creates hard decisions. That's what we want. That's not always, I'm sure, what the players want, but that's what we want. And it's important when we have a roster the size that we do, that we have success so that there's that ability, that desire to work into the lineup. And it's not like someone, I can do what he's doing. We're losing anyways. Why don't you try me? Instead of, you don't have that mentality. You have everybody growing and you have the idea of, hey, I need to work. I need to do what that player's doing. Because I said last weekend, some tremendous growth on some players that we've asked to kind of get out of the way that they are a little bit, in specifics, Nardella, I thought, is trying to transform his game into a more uncomfortable area, as is Logan Piedla, into a more uncomfortable area in a consistent fashion. And our sell to them is, if you do that, we feel you have the skill set to impact the game in a different way. And I think we saw that out of both those players this weekend. And, that's part of the developing new habits and developing new buy-in that we're after in the confrontational side of it. And what I mean by confrontational, I mean by them being confrontational, more confrontational in the game versus letting the game come to them. They're dictating a little bit more what happens in the game and getting into those harder ice areas and not waiting for someone else to go do some of the grunt work. They're taking on some of that grunt work. So we have a number of players working on that and doing that. We still have other guys that are not in the lineup yet that for whatever reason that are working at doing that as well. And so we have good competition. I think we made the right decisions last weekend on the lineup. We got the growth out of the areas we want. And I certainly don't want to leave out one player who we're seeing great growth in that's going to impact us in a big way, and that's Brian Hallinan. Brian Hallinan is good. Chris showed me, I could hear him screaming in the office this morning, watching a video clip while I was doing mine in my office. And he said, come here, you got to see this. And Brian was out there dictating traffic. He was, telling everybody, the other guys where to go and what to do and things like that. That's a big step for Brian in that he's taking leadership on the ice and he's getting outside of just his immediate responsibility. He's getting outside of, he's getting into the point of, okay, I got this, you do that, and then, hey, you do that. And that communication, out of Brian is huge. And now we're seeing, I don't know how many assists he got this weekend, 2, 3, whatever he got, but he had 3 in that exhibition game as well. So that's leading to him seeing more of the ice, seeing more of the play, and setting up plays. And he's always going to get his 12, 14 goals. But if he can parlay 16, 18, 20 assists into that, well, now he's an all-league performer and with his size and strength and how he's possessing the puck, he's a legitimate force for us.
It's the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Huskies coming off a big series sweep at number 13, Wisconsin. The new polls will come out a little bit later on today, and we'll see where everybody lands. A big weekend coming up at home for Michigan Tech. We'll talk about that later in the hour, and maybe a little bit more on the Wisconsin series. I have a couple more questions for Coach. If you have a question for Coach, email it to us, dj@themix93.com, if you are indeed listening on Monday morning where we are live. If you're listening back Monday night. It's a recording. Anyway, we'll take a break. Be back with more. It's the Joe Schaan Hour here on Mix 93.
That is the cycle down in the corner. Centering attempt tonight. Whitman, they score. Oh, they scored from behind the net. Off of Blake Yettle, it went in. And that's a tough one to get up. And that's going to be a first goal of the career for Caden Brown, the freshman from St. Louis. 1-0 Badger. Can't roll. Pass to the Husky Seretsky. Now over for Bronte. Back. Here's the shot. Score!
It was just a power play goal. I think it was off of a scramble in the corner. Brian made a nice middle play to Peter, threw it to Bronson, then kind of just tapped back to me. And there's like six or seven bodies in front of the net, and the puck happened to find out its way through.
Hallinan is going to shoot towards the goal. Nobody there. Big rebound off of Rowe. Huskies pick it up. Seretsky, here's the shot. Scores! Brian Hallinan with the goal! And the Huskies take their first lead of the game, 2-1. It's Logan Pianola swinging it around, trying to hold it in. Will be Buckley. Does he get there in time? He does. Oh, Buckley took a big risk there, and it paid off. Right to the front of the goal. A shot. Scores! Husky scored again as they snuck it through goaltender Cameron Rowe. And I'm not sure he's going to get credit for that one, but Michigan Tech takes a 3-1 lead, and that is Logan Pianola. That goal is a long time coming.
Back out to center ice now. Michigan Tech will control with Thorne. Thorne has a power play goal here tonight. First goal of the season for the Huskies. 3-2 Michigan Tech. Here's Bretzman with a nice pass. Pianola with a score! Logan Pianola again on a great feed from Bretzman. And Pianola with his second goal of the night regains the two-goal lead for the Huskies, 4-2.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of been a long time coming, but it was a lot of fun just to for the team to get a win and then to get on the board again, so hopefully we can carry that into tonight. Kind of how it goes sometimes. Sometimes you get the bounces, and just got to keep working hard, and the line mates were just kind of throwing pucks on net, so we were kind of getting to the net there, and on that first one, yeah, it was the end of a long shift. We were just kind of whacked at hoping to go in, and it did, so, I mean, it always feels good.
Face off, controlled by Michigan Tech, sent inside of the zone. Mo will play it now. Stolen away by the Huskies. 4 seconds left. Back to the point. 2 seconds, and that's it. The Huskies come in here to the Kohl Center in Madison, Wisconsin. The first game in this building, or in this arena, in almost 600 days, and they upset the Wisconsin Badgers, who are ranked 13th in the nation, with a 5-2 victory. Inched up against the wall, brings it down. Caratino gets there first, quickly back, and the Huskies move it over. Here's Trenton Bliss walking in. Toe drag, a score! Toe drag it, and he went top shelf right corner on the power play to give the Huskies a 1-0 lead, 30 seconds into the mat advantage.
Huskies off of the boards, back out the center ice now, and a good steal here, brought up down by Bretzman, a shot, score! Bretzman, his second goal of the weekend, as he beat goal, six side, bring that glove side, and the Huskies take a 2-0 lead with 4:19 remaining.
He'll set it up now for Bretzman. Bretzman coming down, looking in front, passes there, shot, score! Oh, what a play, Bretzman, to Logan Pianola. And the Huskies lead 5-0 with 17-10 remaining.
Play out at center ice. S trying to move it in for the Wisconsin Badgers. 3 seconds left, and the Huskies are going to eat it down in the corner, and that'll be it. Michigan Tech comes into Madison and takes it to the Wisconsin Badgers 5-2 last night, 5-1 tonight for the early season sweep. Some of the highlights from Friday and Saturday night's broadcasts here on Mix 93 WKMJ. 5-2, 5-1 Michigan Tech over 13th ranked Wisconsin on the weekend at the Kohl Center. One other thing I wanted to ask you about, Coach, was what I was impressed with. We had 5 goals after the second period both nights. And I think at times human nature can take over, and you know, if you don't have a goal yet, or you just want to, you know, that greediness can take over in a game like that, and you try to cheat maybe on offense. I didn't really see that a whole lot. Maybe you guys did, but it seemed like both nights, especially I thought Saturday night, we kept playing the Huskies game.
Yeah, I agree with you. That was an encouraging thing to see, is that the guys stuck to, and if anything, got even more engaged into that aspect of the game. So it's a great analogy. I also want to say I really enjoyed that you adding those guys' comments after those goals. Mm-hmm. I think the listeners will really like that. That, you know, to hear what they thought and what they saw out there was, I thought, really brought a lot to your game. You've upped your game, Dirk.
Cool. I appreciate that. It happens every once in a while, not very often. But going back to that, Coach, I know it's really early in the season, but do you feel like there's more of a team aspect to the guys' mentality than maybe in prior years, talking about, you know, not, you know, playing the game, even though you have a pretty substantial lead against a very good team?
No, I think we, again, we had a big time culture setback in my second year here. And reestablishing that culture was what we have focused on since that time, during what I consider to be a pretty significant rebuild. If you look at where we're at, what we had committed and things like that. So I think getting the depth, and the support was what's important. Because if you look at last weekend, our least productive offensive unit was Bliss, Parentino, and Kadyrov. That was our least productive. And, you know, you go in and most people would think, well, that's the line that has to carry us. Mm-hmm. So I think that what we have is more depth at every position. And certainly teams are going to have to keep that line, Arvid's line, intact. And they will get their points. They're going to get their goals. They're going to get their points. But now getting more of what we want with the size and strength out of Corsia, to playing along with Bretzman, big strong guy, and you got Hallinen in there. We've mixed in speed with Bronte and bringing in Ryland Mosley last year, as it's turning out to be, was prophetic. Yeah, because of what he brings in energy and compete level to us. We shift, Logan Piedla to the wing, which seems to be working for him. He's less of a distributor now, and now is in more of an area to get some goals. And so we took care of that center ice position a little bit in distribution and got him where I think seems to be acclimating. It seems to be comfortable, and paid off big for three goals from him on the weekend, which was great to see. He does everything the right way, lives the right way, trains the right way. He was probably, I'm sure that there probably wasn't a day that didn't go by in the summer where he didn't probably both question last year and also say to himself, I'm doing everything I can to not let a year like that happen again. And it's great to see him get off to the start that he did, because he's a critical part for us, and he gets big goals in big games. We've seen that in his early career.
What about, that leads us to Parker Soretsky, goal, got a couple of assists on the weekend as well. That was huge for him too.
Yeah, his work ethic has been incredible since the end of last year, really since our exit meeting last year. I thought that he was introspective in a lot of ways in that exit meeting and accountable in a lot of ways. And I think he's backed that up with effort in the weight room and effort on the ice and the way he's approaching things. It was good to see him get that goal. It was a hard ice goal, which a lot of our goals were. They were, you know, Logan Piedla again took on five guys in front of the net on that, on your call. You said, I don't know who got that, but he took on five. He was surrounded by five guys inside of the rest of our guys, and he put that puck in the net. So, Parker, I thought Friday night struggled with the pace, which affected his touches. A lot of things he was doing was in a standstill mode, and he adjusted Saturday, and I thought he played a really good game, and my trust and confidence in him grew and grew as the game went on, and I was looking for opportunities to get him on the ice, because I've said before, there's nobody on our team with more intelligence, hockey intelligence, than he has, and we want him to continue to grow, because, you know, that line will go as Parker goes.
They're still having some trouble getting people in the buildings down there. It was good crowds both nights. Certainly was not a packed house at that giant stadium at the Kohl Center. But we had once again a great following as usual. If you can tell the people, Coach, we did a little bit on during the broadcast, but the Mitch's Misfits and the rest of the Huskies fans, the way they were at the game, after the game, inspirational, I think, for the guys and the team in general.
Yeah, I think everybody's kind of a misfit. You know, everybody's part of that to some degree. I think so many people that come to our games are people that traveled when they were with the Misfits at some point. So, you know, even listening to your playbacks, you can hear when we score, it's not a dead arena. You can hear noise. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe it's not the 10,000, but you can certainly hear noise. And in a lot of rinks, that's as much noise as you're going to hear. So, And then they waited for us both games outside, and our guys got off the bus and thanked them. It's special. Tyrone Bronte was going back on the ice. He said, "This is incredible." He said, "I'm ready to put it." He actually said, "I'm ready to put equipment back on. Let's play again." It energized him to have that. Those are things you should never take for granted. You should always appreciate the effort that others are putting in as well, and the support that we're getting from others as well. So it was, it certainly is appreciated. It's noticed. It's something that we impress on our players. Don't take this for granted. Don't get yourself up on a high horse, because, bottom line is, when push comes to shove and the day ends, those misfits are going to make a lot of money and be impactful in the world, and let's hope that our guys can be as impactful with their degrees and things as these misfits are.
Another new Husky, Trevor Russell. I didn't talk to him on the air, but I talked to him off the air between the games, and I asked him, how did it feel out there after that Friday night game? He goes, "I'm not going to lie, I was shaking before the game in excitement and nerves and everything. Once the puck dropped, it didn't take long for that to go away." But he said, he just said how incredible it was last Saturday night at, with the exhibition game against Northern Michigan and what that felt like. He couldn't believe it. And, how incredible it was to see the Tech fans there at the Kohl Center. It was pretty cool. I mean, it was a very open, genuine moment the way he was talking to me and, talking about his hands were shaking. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, and, good thing you got a few words out of him, because I can't get two words out of him. I'm wondering if the guy's a silent serial killer or something, because he I can't get anything out of him. So the fact that you were able to get it's kind of like talking to Matt Roy. Matt Roy.
Yeah, he was quiet.
He never said anything, and everything, even on the bench, he was just so quiet. "Hey, Joe, do you think we could work at some point?" When I was the assistant, "You think we could work at some point on a set breakout?" And, a few months go by. "Joe, we could really use a set breakout here." And then, you get near the end of the year and we still haven't worked on it. And, hey, it's about time we get a set breakout, Joe. And that's all he'd say. And I'd say, "Listen, man, you tell Mel." I've been telling him since the first time you told me. I translated information. So
it's the Joe Shot Hour here on Mix 93. We'll take a break. Be back with, we'll start with some of your questions. We've got some good questions that have come in. Coach will answer those. We'll also preview the Michigan Tech Hockey Series at home. It's a two opponents this weekend. Notre Dame, their top 20 team, will be taking on the Huskies Friday night at the McGinnis Student Ice Arena. The Huskies will take on the development team on Saturday night in exhibition as Northern Michigan and Michigan Tech swap opponents Friday and Saturday night, which I think is a really cool thing. I like this idea. And looking forward to the weekend. Plus, we remind you that the Blue Line Club is having a luncheon on Friday at noon. BlueLine@mtu.edu is how you reserve your seat. It's $10, and you need to have that reservation in by noon on Wednesday, I believe. Noon on Wednesday. So make sure you do that if you want to be part of the Blue Line Club luncheon. That is BlueLine@mtu.edu. The Joe Shawn Hour continues after these. Welcome back to the Joe Shawn Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Datema, Stauber, Crespi, Doctor, Pedersen, Misiak, Nordstrom, Richards, Pianella, and of course Sinclair out with injury. Those are all the players that did not play this weekend. Some of them were on the trip, some of them were not. That leads us to our first question, Coach. When are we likely to see more of the guys that have either been out with illness or injury?
Well, when they take a spot, there's I've said before, and this is the sell that I want to give to the team with this new environment. And I may be playing with dynamite in quicksand here, trying to tread quicksand, but I believe in our players, and I believe in our recruiting, and I believe in our ability to communicate with our players and come up with a plan with them individually to help them get better and help them work their way into the lineup. I think with this free agency system in college athletics now, that I would rather roll my dice on that than have to rely on freshmen to come in and carry us and be beating Wisconsin and this school there. I'd rather us be developing our guys from within and those players learning the impact and then taking over spots when they're ready. It may be due to graduation. It may be due to injury. It may be due to opportunity. It may be due to performance in practice. It may be due to a lot of things. But I feel better in that. Now, that the risk of that, again, two-edged sword in this market is that some players may say at the end, hey, coach, I want to play. I feel like I can play someplace better off, and I may be able to say to them, I wish you wouldn't do that. We feel that you've arrived. We feel that you're at that point. We have graduation. You know, this is the opportunity you'll get, but you have to do what's best for you. You know, just like we had to do in our decisions what's best for us. We hope that the players believe in what we're doing here and accept that, and then when they get into the role, they excel and are a better player than they would have been otherwise. And we're seeing some of that within our group. Like even now, we're seeing such growth in guys like in Brian Hallen and in his senior year and you know, whoever else. We're seeing, you know, look at Buckley. You know, he didn't have a turnover this weekend in as far as our statistics. Like that's tremendous hockey. He defended well. He's a big part of our penalty kill. That's growth. That's loyalty. That's buy-in. That's our way of showing the team that the best players will play, and that's their way of saying, you know, I'll continue to work and I'll grind through this and get better at it. So those players will play when their performance dictates to us that they play. But as long as we keep getting growth, you know, and you know, well, we want to get to the point where we're not having to replace guys because they're playing poorly. I can say this: we have two opportunities coming up in the next 2 weekends. We have the development program coming in on Saturday that we'll get a lot of new bodies in for, and we'll have an inter-squad game the following Saturday that we're going to get to see everybody at head-to-head and face-to-face in a game environment. So those are both opportunities to prove yourself.
Can you give us the next question here is the key to Logan Pietola's quick start on the season? I know you touched on it a little bit, but this listener wants to find out, you know, what exactly do you think he's doing differently that's helping him besides going to the wing? Or maybe that is the big thing.
Well, and also, like I said, I think the biggest thing is I think he had a whole summer to dwell on last year. And he could have willowed in sorrow, or he could have got to work, and he got to work. I mean, there was more than one time I saw him, you know, over a bucket getting rid of his breakfast, getting, you know, performing. And I'm talking about in the summer and in the spring, preparing himself to play. So mindset means a lot, and I think his mind is in the right spot. His body's certainly following his mind and his heart, and good for him that it's translating into performance.
Coach, the next listener's question, when you go up on a team 5-0 like you did over the weekend, how do you balance continuing your approach that has gotten you your success up to that point in the game versus going back into a more defensive shell?
You go back to your foundational anchor points that we have on how we want to play. You know, that's what we did last weekend. We referenced a few things that, okay, do this drill. This is the drill we're doing right now. This is why we think in the last few minutes they had more zone time in the second period against us, and this is what we need to do to try to eliminate that and working off a foundation, not just saying, hey, listen, we got to do this, guys. We got to do this better. You know, you guys got to do, you know. In not doing that, but giving them actually something concrete that they can execute and then see how that translates and then use that to start with, evaluate who is doing that and who isn't doing that, and then try to get the guys on the ice that are replicating that portion of the game that you feel will give you some success. But the first thing to do is to give what you do a chance to work. And then if it's not working, everybody's doing their job, then transition from there.
Some of these questions are coming in right now, so I'm trying to give a quick preview. Actually, we'll take a break and, well, let's get this one. In the game where you get a big lead early like Saturday, what do you look for in your team besides scoring to make sure you're improving going forward?
I think we just
kind of the same question.
Yeah, we get back to a basic that you're using to start with. What you don't want to do, I think you made a good reference there, is instead of, I think the previous question, instead of going into a defensive shell, why change? You know, if you're not giving up scoring chances and you're not doing this and you're not doing that, there's a few tweaks you can make, like making sure you have a third man, making sure that they have to go through bodies to get any scoring chances they're going to get, things like that. But I never understood like a prevent defense in football or something like that. Because I don't understand football well enough, but why change? You may not blitz as much or things like that, but why change what got you success? Why make them change? Mm-hmm. And when they change, if you're playing the games the right way, they should be the ones taking the risk, not you. And then you should be able to create opportunity off that risk. And I like the way in the third period that we possess the puck. Like we possess the puck for shifts on end at times in the third period, and generated chances at the net and pressure at the net and didn't give up defensive responsibilities and things. So I like the way that we performed.
Coach, a listener wants to know, what did you say to your team during that timeout that Tony Granato took in the second game on Saturday? Do you remember?
No, I didn't. I don't. If anything, it was focus on your attention to detail, fellas, and let's not change. But I don't recall saying a whole lot. Short shifts, probably. Second period changes. Be careful of line changes. They're going to take some chances, probably. You know, I know at the end of the game we were discussing heavily trying to work our rotations out, that if they, especially on Friday, if they chose to pull the goaltender, how we were going to attack that with the players we wanted on the ice for the 5-on-6. But on Saturday there wasn't so much of that.
Next question from a listener saying, where is Alex Nordstrom at as far as him being not in the lineup and not traveling? And might we see him in the in one of the games this weekend?
Yeah, I've seen good growth in Alex. He certainly has. He can skate. He's got a compete level. He's continuing to work on his understanding of the game at this level. He kind of. Last year, he played with a couple of different teams, which means you're getting comfortable probably with one group, and then you go to a different team and you're reestablishing a role and trying to get comfortable within the way that they play and things. So that probably both hurt him and probably, I won't say harmed him, but it probably helped him in understanding different ways that teams play. But reestablishing a role and things like that, and being, I believe, a 20-year-old on a lineup that they're trying to manage that in Green Bay, they're playing their 20-year-olds and things. His ice time might not have been quite what it may have been, you know, for his development. So he's learning. He's got the attributes. He's got the desire. He's certainly got the character. And we'll judge. He's going to be a big part of us going forward. There's not a question to that in our mind at all. He can make a play with the puck. He can do a lot of things. It's a matter of opportunity. And when that opportunity comes, that he's ready to perform. And I know that he will be.
All right. Thanks for those questions. There's another question about comparing Notre Dame and Wisconsin. We can have you talk about that when we talk about the Fighting Irish, who are coming in here at the John McGinnis Student Ice Arena for the first time in a long time. And that'll be Friday night, 7:07. I want to remind you about the Blue Line Club Luncheon that is coming up at noon on Friday. Blueline@mtu.edu is the email address you need to send your reservation for. It costs $10. And again, that will be at noon on Friday inside the John McGinnis Student Ice Arena. The Joe Schott Hour continues right after these. Welcome back to the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Questions still coming in. Actually, this one I can answer. Somebody's asking who did travel with the Huskies this weekend that did not get into the lineup, and that would have been Doctor. I thought I could add Pedersen. And
Blaze Richards.
Richard, thank you, Coach. Yeah, those are the three guys that were on the travel roster.
And I'll add, the intent was we were gonna get those guys in. The guys that we brought, we felt were the closest to give us what we needed to play against Wisconsin. But like I told the group, you can't, when you're asking guys to get out of themselves and they have the success that they had Friday night, certain individuals. You can't not reward them and set them back by they earned the chance to play in that game. They did not. If anything, they solidified the decision that we made to put them in the game. They contributed in a big way. So you don't just change to make a change, especially with opportunity coming in the next few weeks, like I mentioned with the development program and with an inter-squad game to get players in and get a good look, because it's all about evaluation and putting the best players on the ice.
You know, I was eavesdropping a little bit when you on Saturday were doing film. We were out in the hallway, and I was just trying to listen in. And when you came to that point where you had this, tell the guys we're going with the same lineup. Not easy to do because you know there's guys that want to get in there.
Well, that's the hardest part. Like in juniors tryouts, I made sure that every guy that I cut during a tryout when I was coaching juniors, that I face-to-faced them and gave them what I felt was the reason why we didn't keep them and what we can do maybe to help them going forward, to help them find a spot going forward, the calls that we'll make and things for them. That's the obligation you have, and that's why we do try to do so much different work. I think a big part, the comfort level, a huge comfort level that I have right now is certainly in our coaching staff. We have, and I should say in our entire staff. Harry's been here with us since Anthony Harris has been here, since I've been here with our group. Bradley's been here virtually since I've been here in one capacity or another, whether it was a high school kid hanging out or whatever, hanging out with us. Tyler's been here. Brooksy's been here. Max has been here with us now for a few years and goes above and beyond. I see the little things that he does that he never mentions or says anything about at all. So, that continuity, that work that they do, like that ability to that overlap. And I'm looking forward. Tyler's on his way back right now. He's been on a long recruiting trip. I can't wait to get him back here. But that continuity where Brooksy and I are pulling out the same stuff, and I'll show him something, and he'll say, I have the same thing. Or he'll show me something. I say, yeah, I saw that. Great pickup on that. Well, you know, I have that in my notes. Why don't you address that with them? So, you know, you're looking for maybe a Lennon-McCartney type of symbiotic nature, and we have that type of synergy, I think, within our group. And that's a huge part, and you're talking about of power play, penalty kill, things like that. Everybody's on the same page. We're not teaching everything right now to coaches and everything else. Everybody's on the same page, and so the right message gets sent through the group, and that's something I feel very fortunate about.
No doubt about it. Okay, so Notre Dame coming in here, Coach. We have not played them since the NCAA heartbreaking, one of the most heartbreaking losses I've ever been a part of in that overtime final in the semifinal of the East Region. And I know you remember that game very well. It was a great hockey game that we just didn't come out on top of. But we played them, I think, four times in the last 10 years in their barn. It's nice to have them up here first time since the early 80s.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if we played them since I've been here. And if we have, we played them. I was on the road recruiting, so I haven't, except for that NCAA game, and that was inches. That puck. I many people sent me the picture from ESPN with that puck sitting on the
Smitty
goal
right
line,
there, yeah.
And Smitty's taking a whack at it and just got his stick lifted as that wide open net on the goal line, and as he's taking a whack, and then they came down. We broke a stick and came right down. And scored, they scored on us, but that's in the past. One thing I will say for sure, in all humbleness and with respect, we aren't going to out-coach them. All we can do as far as the coaching, knowing those coaches and having been around them on a daily basis, with especially with Jeff and with Paul Pooley, we can hope to compete with them on the coaching level, and it's going to come down to the players. We know that they're going to be extremely well prepared, and that they're going to compete extremely hard. So we're hoping that we can have that same type of an effort and grow on what we did last week. And I'm looking forward to just a tremendous hockey game.
January 6th and 7th, that's the last time we played regular season action, 2017, sorry. The last time we played them in a regular season game or series, down in South Bend. It's January 6th and 7th.
Yeah, I guess I was at that. Mm-hmm. That was right after the GLI we went there and played.
Right.
I was at that. I forgot about that.
We lost Friday night 3-1, came back and won, 4-2 on Saturday night.
Yeah.
So, that's the last time. Coach Jackson's team in the preseason poll in the Big Ten picked to finish fourth behind Minnesota, Michigan, and Wisconsin. As you said, just such a great coach. And what do you like about their team? And you know, I know they have some guys that obviously aren't there anymore, but what is it about their team that we have to be concerned about?
Well, I think You know, a great deal of what I am was what I picked up from Jeff in a lot of aspects. And I still reference him in my mind in many ways as far as being really the, an epitome of a coach. You know, the two probably that made the biggest impact on me as far as the complete package were Jeff and Walt Kyle, those two individuals, because of everything, the different styles they had in managing a group, but the ability to manage a group, and their knowledge of the game, their coaching philosophy and knowledge of the game. So, a great part of what I do, I still reference practices, Jeff's practices from Lake State and things like that. So, every part, you know, his attention to detail. I mean, he's single. He's really married in a lot of ways to the game and to his craft. That's how committed he is to the game. So, he's innovative, but structured. So, I always look forward to back to juniors when he was with the development program. That was really the first time I got to go head to head with him when he was coaching the development program and I was coaching in juniors and we would schedule games and then from there on when I was at Lake State and he was at Notre Dame and I was at Northern and he was at Notre Dame, it's always been a enjoyable to watch his teams play and how they play and you always know you're going to get a really good hockey game.
Well, talking about the development team, how different is their game compared to NCAA teams? And is there a lot of difference as far as the style of play?
They're good. They're a good NCAA team. You know, those guys are stepping in, being impactive players when the following year with every NCAA program that they're with, and they're all committed. You know, they're all committed. Again, they're well coached. That's going to be fun as well because a former player of mine who played for me for 3 years, Adam Nightingale, is the coach of that team. Mm-hmm. So we've been talking quite a bit and he was able to elevate and get up to video coach with the Red Wings and then as an assistant coach with the Red Wings. And so he'll be back. You know, I got a good story. He's been a huge Maple Leafs fan. And I always told him, when you make the NHL, I had a signed Toronto Maple Leafs jersey that I saved in a box for him. And I said, you ever make the NHL nights, this is yours. Well, we went there to play in the GLI and he was with the Red Wings. And I said, come on out here. And I brought him out by the bench area. And I said, here. I said, you made the NHL. I gave him the jersey and he said, oh, Joe, I'm so glad that you brought this to me. Not in front of everybody. He said, that would have been bad. He said, so good. I really appreciate it. Great guy. So this is going to be a reminiscent weekend for me in a lot of ways as well and a great opportunity for me to visit some good friends.
Coach, we only got a couple more minutes left here, but I want to get your thoughts on the other games. Most of the CCHA teams were playing non-conference. Boy, some really big matchups. The one at the top, obviously, after our series, the Minnesota State St. Cloud matchup splitting. I mean, two top teams going at it. That'd have been a lot of fun to watch that.
Yeah, I would have, on an off weekend, deeply considered going and watching that if I didn't have any prep work or things to do. That would have been a great series to watch. Northern Michigan scored a lot of goals. We saw that they have the ability to score goals, and we played them. They're an offensive team on the big ice, and they were able to take advantage of St. Thomas, who battled them tough through both the games, through half a game. Actually had the lead in the second period on the second night. Rico will do a really good job with them, and they're going to get nothing but better as they go, and every little victory for them, whether it shows on the scoreboard or not, will be a victory that they'll build on. So they were good as well. Ferris suffered a late loss, I know, in the second night to Western Michigan. I'm missing somebody in there.
Well, Michigan and Lake State.
Lake State came back actually and took a 3-2 and I think a 4-3 lead against Michigan after going down early on Saturday night. But Michigan's firepower was too much and they just score. They just score. And they're an excellent team and they'll be number one in the country, I imagine, this week.
Did you mention Bowling Green and RPI?
Yeah, they split, right?
An overtime. A tie and a
overtime win.
An overtime win.
Yeah. So they'll be a good team as well. They're always competitive and they'll be a good team and they'll grow as the year goes on.
I think 4-7. Do I have that right? 4-7-1. The league went in the. I might be wrong on that. Have to add up.
Yeah, you know, I don't. That's for our league office to do. To be honest with you, my focus is on.
I understand.
It was
that.
On the weekend that we played, right. And you keep in touch with what's going on to some degree, but really our focus is on what we can control.
Yeah, you can't control that, but it is for the fans, obviously, and people still wonder why these games are so important. They are huge, especially when they're against really, any team, but when they're getting, you can get those wins against really good teams out of conference, it helps the whole conference going forward.
Yeah, it only makes for your conference schedule to be that more valuable because right. Your comparisons really come into play. Like, right now, we're pulling big time for Wisconsin to win the Big Ten.
Yeah.
We want them to beat everybody. I'd like them to go undefeated from this point on out, and because that would be huge for us in where we're trying to get to.
All right, Coach. Well, hey, 7 o'clock Friday night against Jeff Jackson and the Fighting Irish. Going to be a great, I think, a really good hockey game. Tickets are available for that. BuyHuskiesTickets.com. The development team comes in on Saturday night. That is a 6:07 drop of the puck, an hour earlier. And, of course, if for some reason you can't be there, we'll have the games for you on Mix 93 WKMJ a half hour prior to, actually 37 minutes prior to puck drop. We'll start our broadcast. But, Coach, congratulations on the big wins over the weekend. And thanks for everything you do here on the show. And good luck this weekend.
Yes, and just to mention, there is a Blue Line luncheon
yep.
on Friday. I don't know if we mentioned
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we got it in a couple
of
weeks.
Yep. So,
yep.
Okay,
yeah,
good, thanks.
And Blue Line at mtu.edu. And by the way, Bruce from Good Times Music wants to make sure you're playing your guitar.
I have not played it much since summer.
I told him, I said, he's too busy. He's not playing his guitar.
I should for some relaxation.
Yeah, and he says it's time to pick that up again.
Yeah,
so
good. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Coach. All right, that's the Joe Schon Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ.